I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Cartoonist, lifetime comic book fan, and self-published creator, Jason Lowe is a widely recognized Toronto-based comic creator and an emerging talent with Marvel Comics. The 2020 Eisner Award winner began his comic career in 2014 with his own superhero idea, the Pitiful Human Lizard. Its success and reception led to further opportunities for Lowe, including work with fellow Canadian comic artist Chip Zdarsky and on Marvel's X-Corps, X-Men's Jubilee, and the Fantastic Four. Today, Jason Lowe discusses his early beginnings in comics, the risk to self-publish his own creations, and current work on his favorite characters for Marvel.
I guess like my earliest memories were just reading comics. I got into like reading Archie comics from my cousins when I was like 4 or 5, because like they just had piles of them, and I would just try to fit in with my older cousins and read their stacks of Archies, and then eventually being allowed to get some comics at the convenience store, like Batman and G.I. Joe and New Mutants, because I just thought those covers were cool. I mean, I picked Batman because it's Batman, but like, I was a big fan of G.I. Joe, but New Mutants was like, oh, this cover looks cool. I'm just gonna buy that, and so on. But yeah, that was my interest in comics in general, but in making comics. Like telling a story, I've always loved drawing when I was 5, and I think when I discovered the stapler, like, and learning how to staple my drawings together into a book, I was like, hey, like, I think I got something here, and I think that kind of sparked the early stages of wanting to make my own comic book.
He describes his introductions into comics and the early favorites that inspired him.
So, like, my earliest, like, actual comic that I made was in high school. And they were, like, I was heavily inspired by DC comics. And at the time, I was reading titles like Starman by James Robinson and Tony Harris. Which followed a second-generation superhero who was reluctant to take on the mantle of being Starman after his father. And I thought that was a very interesting take, because, like, here's this guy who doesn't wear the costume, and he's an antique dealer who loves to look at the past, but at the same time, he doesn't want to celebrate the mantle of his father's legacy of being Starman. So he wears like a leather jacket and goggles. Like he has like this makeshift outfit. And I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool. Like a pretty neat take of a second generation superhero. And that's when I wanted to make my own second generation superhero, which was the Human Lizard back in high school. Who, just like the current incarnation, worked what was like he was busy working in a 9-to-5 job, a very mundane life, but like the superhero aspect was what excited him in his life.
Jason balanced his regular 9-to-5 job with his passion projects as a cartoonist. These experiences became relatable themes for his early work on the Human Lizard concept.
Oh, yeah. I've been working a full-time job at the library. And I think like every 9-to-5 job is similar to one another. Like it's that daily grind of waking up early and you got to do this thing. But at the same time, like, you know, like you have this passion for something else that you want to do outside. And like he's kind of like I guess the saying like weekend warrior or the life of a rock star who you know, because not all rock stars are full-time rock stars. Like, they have their own day jobs outside, and like me being a cartoonist, because being a cartoonist is not a career where you can like do well living, especially in the city of Toronto. Like, you definitely need to rely on a good steady full-time job to pay the bills, and I feel like anyone can relate to that through the Human Lizard.
By 2014, he decided to take a chance and use Kickstarter to self-publish issue 1 of The Pitiful Human Lizard. This was at a time when he was contemplating his future as a cartoonist and in the industry. He says even if it was not warmly received, he would have been happy knowing he took a shot and got his story out there.
The latest incarnation, Pitiful Human Lizard, which because the thing is, this was a character that I worked on from high school to college, and then like kept on retooling and retweaking it for the Times. And so the latest incarnation was through Kickstarter, and this was at a time where I was like, you know, like I you know, like being a college graduate in illustration and not being able to get the work I want, and I just felt a little bit jaded about like my path as a cartoonist. So working on Pitiful Human Lizard was more like, this was like my one shot into seeing if I can make it or just give up. So I took everything that I've learned from college and all my experience through making comics after I graduated, and I applied it into The Pitiful Human Lizard and made it into a 52-page debut issue, where, you know, if this book failed, at least people got a great idea of what this Toronto superhero was all about. Like, you got to understand what his character is going through every day. There are enough action scenes throughout the comic, and there's a great buildup and climax and ending in that one issue. And thankfully, the Kickstarter was a success, and I sold lots of copies. I actually like made like 3 printings of issue number 1, to the point where like I was able to fund the next issues of that series, and then it spun out from there.
His other motivations include wanting to showcase Toronto and have an Asian lead character who didn't fall into cliches and stereotypes.
I think it was also wanting to create a Toronto superhero, because we don't really have any Toronto superheroes. Like, we had Toronto comic characters like Scott Pilgrim, or, you know, like stories set in Toronto by like Sith or Chester Brown. But I felt like, you know, like looking at the Marvel superheroes, that was an inspiration, where they took the city of New York and made that a character of their universe. And I was like, well, I want to do that for Toronto, because that hasn't been done in a comic book series before, making Toronto a character where we get to see it for what it is, and not as something else, like in a TV or film production where it's shot in Toronto, but, you know, it pretends to be New York or another city. Like, so it was a great way to celebrate Toronto, but also, and this was like with like maybe a month into the production of Human Lizard, I was like why don't I like make him Asian? Like, we don't even have that many Asian lead characters that have their own titles. And I was, so I felt there was like this responsibility that I want to own up to and display another perspective of an Asian Asian comic lead that we've never seen before in comics, that doesn't know martial arts or all the other stereotypes that people are familiar when they see an Asian character, or even like just a token Asian character. Like I wanted to really be deep into the struggles of just being Asian and being like this character who's, you know, who goes through life ignored or just not that well appreciated.
The immediate success of issue 1 allowed Jason to self-publish 5 more issues before the series was picked up by a Canadian publisher.
So with the Kickstarter, I was able to self-publish 5 issues on my own, writing, drawing, lettering it all, until eventually it got picked up by a publisher who I don't think they're around anymore, Chapter House, and we had the same vision of this shared Canadian superhero universe, so like Marvel but Canadian, and the Human Lizard would fill that role of Spider-Man. So he got to join this larger universe with other existing Canadian superheroes like Captain Canuck, and other Golden Age superheroes that were rebranded for the modern times. And so yeah, with a publisher like that, the series was able to be distributed around the world, even as far as Australia, through Diamond Distribution. And so it got a much larger audience. So it was kind of cool, like getting tweets from fans in the States that appreciated a Toronto superhero. It was just cool that something that's so Toronto can be appreciated all around the world. And so yeah, after that, it ran for about 22 issues in 5 years. Then later on, I got an email from Chip Zdarsky, who, if you don't know, he's a comic creator who's won an Eisner, and he's done it all. He's worked for DC and Marvel. He's still doing that. And yeah, he asked me to be his artist for his new book. And we worked on this series called Afterlift together. And then from there, just spun out into that series got published through Comixology Originals, and we had a pretty good PR team, so it's got the word out. And since then, a lot of doors opened. So it's I'm currently living in a pretty good time in comics right now. much better than like when I first started in Pitiful Human Lizard, when I was not sure if this was going to be a success or not, and here I am.
Once the Pitiful Human Lizard finished its run at 22 issues, Jason was contacted to be a co-creator with Chip Zdarsky to work on the new story, Afterlift. Zdarsky's notable works include Jughead, Star-Lord, Howard the Duck, and Spider-Man.
I went in as a co-creator with Chip, where he had a basic premise of the story, which is a ride share to hell. It follows a rideshare driver who picks up this passenger who happens to be the devil that's using her service to transport souls to hell. And he only gave me like a few paragraphs. And I went from there destroying all sorts of concepts of all the characters. And at the same time, drawing cards was not my greatest strength. And he warned me that I'll be drawing lots of cards. So while I was drawing character concepts, I was practicing drawing cards. And so I spent like weeks and weeks perfecting how to draw cards freehanded. And me not really having a technical drawing background, I think it worked to my advantage where I drew the car as a character. So I focused on the different types of ways to display motion with that car. And aside from that, I got to draw all these cool demon characters. And since the story, since the story of Afterlift displays the afterlife as an amalgamation of all sorts, like of different elements from different religions, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if some of these demons were inspired by the Indonesian demons that I'm familiar with? Because, you know, I think demons that are displayed in North America, like we've seen them all. You know, the two horns with the red skin, and I wanted to try to make it look refreshing and just unique and new to our series. So it's like, let's look at like other sources of inspiration. So that's why I went to revisiting the Indonesian demon masks that my uncle had on display as like some of his Indonesian antiquities around his house. And that was a lot of fun to draw inspiration from, because they like these Indonesian demons, like they have like this big bulging eyes and crooked fangs, and they're just so colorful and vibrant. They're not just red, like, you know, what demons are or devils are depicted in Christianity paintings.
Jason says his opportunity with Marvel came unexpectedly. He won his Eisner Award for Afterlift in 2020. However, it was his work samples of X-Corps' Multiple Man that he created nearly 7 years ago that caught Marvel's attention on Twitter.
Well, the Marvel thing was I think it was it just really came out of nowhere. I mean, you'd think that it was like the next step after Afterlift. Like if they saw my work and from Afterlift and so, oh yeah, he's an award winner. But it was not like that actually. What happened was five or 7 years ago, I did this 2-page multiple man sample, and I shared it on Twitter, and it was a unique 2-page spread where we follow Multiple Man from the X-Men series. He's this mutant that's able to duplicate himself. So we see him. We see the story split up into three or four different ways. So you can read it three or four different ways and see the paths like merge throughout the story, or and then, you know, they all have the same ending at the end. So that two-page spread, which at the time got some attention, but it didn't get me any Marvel jobs like back in like 2016. Until a friend of mine dug that two-page spread that I did, and he shared it with Dan Slott, who is this famous Marvel writer who's worked on Spider-Man and right now Fantastic Four and Silver Surfer. He's done it all. And Dan Slott was like, "This is amazing," and he shared it with his friends, and then I started to see a lot more excitement on this 6-year-old comic that it got the attention of Tom Brevoort, who is the senior VP of Marvel, like the head cheese of Marvel. And he was like, "I got to have this in my books." And he was, so he reached out to me over Twitter. And then that's how it went. We had a nice introduction and then start introducing me to a bunch of editors, and I quickly found myself working on three different things for them.
Oh, what are the three things?
The three things that have been announced, the first one, which already came out, is X-Corp 3, where I got to redo the Multiman story, especially since it's a story that I did 6 years ago when my drawing skills have greatly improved. I wanted to redo that again, but also fit that in the current storyline of X-Corp. That was fun. And the second one I did is something for Fantastic Four, which I got to write and draw. And it's to help celebrate the 60th anniversary. And it's a short story among two other stories, one written by Dan Slott and another written by Mark Waid, who is one of my idols. I'm a big fan of Mark Waid's writing, especially for his work on Daredevil and Black Widow and all his DC work as well. There was X-Corp 3, Fantastic Four, issue 35, that's going to be coming out September 1st to celebrate the 60th anniversary. And then I got to draw a Jubilee comic short for Marvel Voices Identity, issue number 1. And that's written by Christina Strand. And Christina Strand has a very familiar background with Jubilee, since she's worked on Generation X. And I've always dreamt of wanting to do a Jubilee story. So it's great that one of my first, actually, like it's great that my first few Marvel gigs, I got to draw my favorite Marvel characters. So it's Multiman, Jubilee, and Ben Grimm. So yeah, that's been a delight. I think I've hit I've checked off everything in my bucket list with Marvel.
As he looks back on his career, he reflects on his experiences that led him to where he is today.
It's crazy. I mean, this is, it goes to show and that like if you aspire to want to be something or do something in your life, like you just got to be very persistent and you just gotta like really hustle and I mean, you know, these last 7 years since I started the Pitiful Human Lizard, like every stage meant something to me, from like from the people I've met, like at conventions or industry nights, and to the skills that I've acquired or like learned, developed through drawing and writing comics. It's been quite a journey to see that I've made it this far. I look back and you know, back when I was working on that Multiple Man comic, and like I was so green. I really wanted to work for Marvel at the time. And looking back at it now, I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm at a right time right now to work at Marvel. Like, I'm very confident with my skills. And because back then, I think I was, looking back, like, I don't think I would have been happy with the quality that I would have presented with Marvel at that time compared to now, where it's like I'm really happy that I got to this point to work with Marvel after 7 years since the start of Pitiful Human Lizard.
Jason Lowe's upcoming work will appear in Fantastic Four number 35 this September. The special issue celebrates 60 years of the Fantastic Four. I'm Daniel Centeno, you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.